Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, it's good to be here together. It's good to be in God's house. Who was here last Sunday? Last Sunday was our Easter weekend. We had 10 baptisms to start with, and then we had 3 spontaneous baptisms in the service. And if you were here last week, I think it was a glimpse of the call of God on our church. We had people literally lined up, like couldn't get in the room, people trying to get seats. It was just an insight into what I believe God has called us to do and to be. Can you hear me okay? I'm trying a new microphone, so give me a little bit of grace up here for feedback or whatever. But it just encouraged my heart, because the week before we talked about being great bringers when it comes to the great banquet. And then last week, I felt like our church family really laid a hold of that. And so thank you to those who moved beyond the theory and created some testimony and actually brought people along. And I just think we need to make sure we just keep that attitude of bringing, inviting, loving, including, encouraging, because we have a city that needs Christ and needs a touch from God. And can you hear me okay out there? Yeah. It's just fitting a little bit back up here, guys, that's all. And I just think if we lay a hold of what the Holy Spirit's doing, it's going to help us as people really step into the fruitfulness God has for us as his people. Now, if you think about this year, we started Vision Sunday speaking about this year being a year of being closer to God, a year of personal revival. Here's a question: how are you going with your personal revival? How is your heart going this year? I've had some great encouragements lately of people who are saying they feel like in their heart they're starting to experience a personal revival. And I want to encourage every single person, whether you're online or here in the flesh, that there is an anointing and an invitation from, I believe, the throne room of heaven saying, come and open your heart. I want to pour out revival fire in you. I want to pour out a fresh touch of heaven. Whether you've been a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years, or whether you've been a Christian for a week, pray the prayer, Holy Spirit, I want a personal revival. And I tell you, it's one of those prayers that you're pretty much guaranteed over time he will answer. There's some prayers we pray and maybe we think, I hope he answers. There are some prayers that you pray and you're guaranteed that he's going to answer. And one of those prayers is, draw near to me, Father. I draw near to you. Those who draw near to God, God draws near too. God, give me a personal revival. And then we spoke about in week two, if you remember back, that we need to be a people who are so close with the Holy Spirit that we are tracking, when it comes to other people around us, what he might be saying and who they are in the kingdom. And I told you that whenever I speak to you, whether it's in the courtyard, down the street, even up here when I'm preaching, I am thinking and praying within myself this prayer. Lord, show me who they are in your kingdom. Show me their anointing. Show me their grace. Show me the rivers of living water that you want to cause to burst forth from them. And that's how I speak to people. That's how I lead people, is that I actually come back to a place of, Holy Spirit, open my ears to your voice, open my eyes to your works. I am a student of revival. I am a student of hosting your presence. I want to be someone who is so sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice that when I speak, he speaks. Now, if that sounds good to you, then this is the church community for you and those yet to come. You see, we can be Christians, and often with Christians, we have this machine gun type faith, which is we just go, I'm going to pray for every single person. I'm going to share every single scripture. And we machine gun. I encourage you to be a sniper. Yeah. To be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that you line up someone in love in the kingdom and you are obedient, and in that moment of accuracy, you see revival touch someone's heart. When you share a word from the Father in season, there is nothing more powerful. And we are simply mouthpieces of His presence and His voice. Therefore, we should be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. You see, my prayer this morning is that you don't get a bunch of words from me. I don't want to give you a bunch of words. I want you to hear one voice. And that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because He knows what you need to hear. Have you ever been in a meeting where someone's preaching and the Holy Spirit speaks to you about something totally different? And you're not being rude, but you're there writing notes and someone thinks, well, they're writing lots of notes. And it's because He's giving you some this word about something completely over here. I'm okay with that. I'm not offended by that. The Holy Spirit knows what you need to hear. He knows, and the great thing about the Holy Spirit, He knows the breakthrough you need, the moment you need it. He knows what's happening tomorrow, yesterday, and today. He knows the conversation, the encouragement, the conviction of sin. He knows how to equip you in your weakness. He knows everything. I don't. So we say, even now, Holy Spirit, come. Fill this church. May our hearts become so sensitive to your voice that we become like snipers, accurate according to your leading and prompting, that we might bring a revival fire to the great south coast of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. You know, since week one and week two of Vision Sunday, our church has seen unprecedented growth, more fruit, more of a sense of God's presence than we have in many years gone by. Why is this though? I feel like this mic is helping me preach a bit better. Maybe I should learn some sign language. This is why I think it is. I think when you learn to recognize the field that God has called you to cultivate and harvest, you then know how to cultivate the soil. You then know how to water and sow the right seed. And then you learn how to be an expert harvester for that field. And a farmer harvests a watermelon field different to a wheat field. Once again, we can be a church that is trying to plant every crop ever, trying to harvest everything, trying to do everything. There's so many needs. Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with you. There are so many needs. But we have to learn to lean into the grace on this church. And all the churches in our city, we're blessed with many great churches. They have different graces, different anointings, and therefore different fruit. So the question I have is this. What is it that God's called our church to do? And I feel like it's this. I feel like we have a revival anointing for the nation. I feel like we have a revival anointing for the nation. Let that drop in your spirit. We are not narrow bogans just for ourselves. We are not a small-minded people. We are not insular. Don't be offended by these comments, but I think people, when they think of narrow, don't think of world changes. I know that because I have pastor friends elsewhere and narrow gets teased a lot. In good jest, little do they realize the anointing in this place will supersede the cities. And they'll say, how did you see God move? And we'll say, we learned to be students. We learned to be humble. We learned to say, Holy Spirit, come and help us learn. And I feel like as we learn and lean into the field that God has called us to carry and to work in, we then start to see really effective fruit. We just learn to harvest watermelons instead of trying to harvest zucchinis. And who knows, watermelons are much better than zucchinis. So that's why this year we're seeing growth. That's why last week was a record Sunday for our church. That's why last week we had literally people out the doors. And this week there's lots of people sick and we pray for them healing in Jesus' name. But it's only the preview of what's to come. Not the sickness, the week before. Because I don't think in terms of hundreds, I think in terms of our city, which is tens of thousands. And I personally don't mind if it's in this church or the other churches. I actually think all our churches in our city will be filled. I think we'll be having pastors' meetings saying, How do we help each other out? It isn't about one man. It isn't about one building. It isn't about one... No, no. It's about a city being changed by the love of God. And I fully believe this, church, and I might sound crazy to some, but the South Coast train line is there for a reason, from the airport to Bomo.
Yeah.
The Lord has called this place. He has called the South Coast. He has anointed us according to his purposes, not man's purposes, but according to his purposes, in Jesus' name. Yesterday was my son's fourth birthday. And he is the joy of my life. He is my little man. Every day he says, "Daddy, you're my best friend." I'm not even exaggerating. And I say, "You're my best friend too." And then he says, "Mummy's my best friend." And I say, "I thought I was your best friend." So yesterday I took Bear and we went to the local cinema. The Roxy Cinema. Before I had children, I always wanted, and I had this kind of bucket list thing in my head with kids, to take my children to the movies. Any people who love the cinema love going to the movies. I love going to the movies. I'm also weird in this. I like going by myself a lot. If I go with you, it's a treat, but I'm okay to go by myself. That's my introverted side. I sit there with my bag of goodies and I can disappear for 2 hours. It's amazing. Yeah. Zucchini, broccoli, all the healthy stuff. So yesterday I said to Bear, my son, and it was raining. I said, "Why don't we go to the movies for your birthday?" And he said, "Yes, that sounds great." He was so excited. So we went and we saw Kung Fu Panda 4. Before you tell me Kung Fu is evil, I don't care. There were a couple of scenes that were probably a bit too old for a four-year-old, but that's okay. He got to snuggle in. But overall, it was good. He got popcorn, he got M&Ms, he got juice, he got cupcakes. This kid was, he was just in heaven. The thing is about movies, though, is I actually like seeing the preview. Any preview people here? I think the movie experience starts at the preview. I have noticed, though, that some places, not necessarily the Roxy, although maybe it's there, but some movie cinemas will show you 30 minutes of ads before the movie starts. And they're sneaky because they put the preview in with the ads. And most of the ads are about orthodontist places, and I just don't care. So we went to the movies, and my plan was to get there early, but of course I needed a coffee. So we ended up getting there right when it started the movie, and I missed the previews. I missed all the coming attractions that my son could one day watch, all the kids' movies. Some people hate previews. Anyone hate previews here? You're like, "What a waste of time." No? Bring it on. Saturday night in our house, or used to be before we had a baby, but we try to still do it. Although watching a movie now in our house takes a good 2-3 days because you are pausing it and then you're going and you get 45 minutes in and you think, "Tomorrow, let's just do part two tomorrow." Any parents know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Or the people who are kids are growing up and our kids are like, "Yeah, whatever, let's watch a movie now." Yeah. We spend hours sometimes going through Netflix. Next, next. Let's watch the preview. Next, next. And after half an hour of doing this, it's pretty much the window is finished to watch the movie anyway. So you put on, you know, an Office episode or something and go to bed. Anyone like that? Probably everybody who has streaming does that. The good thing about previews is that they give you an an insight into the main attraction to come. If you don't watch a preview and have no insight, then you have zero understanding of what is to come. When it comes to the kingdom, it is hard to have faith for what is to come unless you have a word from God which gives you a preview of what is to come. Unless we become great at asking the Holy Spirit to give us previews into the main attractions, the main moves of God, the breakthroughs to come, then how are we to have faith for what is to come? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't yet see. Hope is different. Hope is powerful. It's never wrong to hope. Hope is a godly thing. But faith is an assurance that you know it's going to happen. Faith says God can. Hope says God can. Faith says God will. So when you speak to somebody who has a word of faith, it's hard to argue with them because they know that God will do it. Hence why a seed of faith doesn't need to be big. You don't need huge faith. Jesus said this. He said, you need mustard seed faith. But mustard seed faith will be strong enough to move mountains. So the prayer shouldn't be, and I find myself correcting myself sometimes, God, help me, give me more faith. No, it's give me a revelation of the seed of faith you placed in me. Now, faith comes by what? By hearing the word of God. Yeah. That's what the scripture says. Now, that word, hearing the word of God, that word is the rhema word, which is the quickening word of God. Yeah. So when you read your Bible and it jumps out at you, that is the rhema. The logos is just the scripture by itself. The rhema is the jumping out. Yeah. Yeah. Cool, hey. So when you're in prayer, I just excuse the pulpits. That it might smite me or something. Oh, the simple things that make our church laugh, I tell you. I should trip over more up here. It'll be hilarious. I'm going to be a prop preacher. Just anyway. Therefore, it's really important that we become people who have the rhema word of God, which then results in faith, which then results in knowing that God's going to do something. Faith is a preview of what is yet to come. So you hear me say, the South Coast is the great South Coast of the Holy Spirit. It's because I see it in my spirit. There's a word from God there. I speak it as though it is. Because when I align myself with what he is saying, then the fruit becomes his. Pretty awesome, hey? Don't miss the preview. If you miss the preview, you miss having faith for the main attraction. Don't miss the prompting of the Spirit. Don't miss out on what he is trying to show you. Don't look at somebody and miss what God might have placed inside of them because you're looking at the flesh and God says, look at the kingdom, look at the Spirit, look at the anointing, look at the grace. If we become great at this church, our church will become overflowing with people because we know how to unlock people's greatness. Kingdom greatness. Again, I model this to you and I ask that you would do this. When you speak to someone, ask the Holy Spirit, what is the river of living water in them? Yes. And how do I unblock the dam? Yes. Because we all get dammed up. We all get dammed up by hurt, by confusion, by distraction, by sin, by disappointment. And that river that should flow freely becomes walled up. And we are called to be great dam breakers. Oh, I should have got a dam in here and got a big sledgehammer and done something. He was here at the palate cleansing word a few weeks ago, where we had the date in service. Pastor Paul, just so you know, we had a date on the stage and it was your daughter and Noah, and there was accountability, and they had a meal together in front of the whole church, and we talked about palate cleansers. And it was the best date Noah has ever had, and he was nearly going to get down on one knee, and I was, no. Just wait. You've got to speak to the right people first. So So Holy Spirit, help us to be able to see what you see. Help us to be a church that sees through your eyes. Help us not look at the flesh, but look at the Spirit and what God is doing. And help us to learn to unlock in each other and in those who come in the greatness and the rivers of God. Help us to be so in tune with you, Holy Spirit, and be such students in humility that we wash each other's feet. We do that in the Spirit. We honor and we serve one another. Even as you're sitting there, church, this is how you practice it. Think about the person who might be sitting near you and go, Holy Spirit, is there a word you have for them? Is there a blessing I can give them? Is there something you want me to encourage them in? And by doing that, we become this church of many streams that become a mighty river, and rivers that then carve out landscapes. And rivers, if you look at the Shoalhaven River and look how it goes, that's years and years of that being carved out. Yeah. Who wants to be a spiritual landscape producer, changer, former? Well, Lord, let the rivers of God flow over time, that we might change and help people flow in their kingdom purpose. This is the church I would want to be a part of. And this is the church that our city would want to be a part of if they just knew the good news of this. Because we have 100,000 plus people in the Shoalhaven who actually have the potential of mighty rivers of God in them. So, okay, Holy Spirit, help us firstly to be sensitive to that, to hear that and see that in you. And then thirdly, give us the courage to move in that, which I think is the big one. Give, and that's, notice the humility of that prayer. I'm not saying get off full of gusto and go, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to be business owners and employees and parents and singles and students who know how to work so close with you and walk so in tune with you that we become like Jesus, who was so led by the Father that he went into different situations and he wasn't a machine gun type person. He was a sniper type person because he knew how to be led by the Spirit. How awesome. Now, you imagine if we all went out today, we'll use two examples. Firstly, if you're sitting here today and you know what your breakthrough is needed in your life, if you need a major breakthrough, and if someone came up to you today without knowing anything and said, I feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to know this, and that was the key for your breakthrough, who knows, that would change your walk. Now, you imagine if we all went out this week and had that moment with someone who doesn't yet know Christ. To the point where they think, man, this is the weirdest encounter I've ever had, but it is so scarily accurate, and they get touched by God because the people of God are being led by the Spirit of God. Now, please understand, I'm not saying be weirdos. Don't hear me wrong, we're not a weirdo church. We are a Spirit-led church who knows how to work in wisdom as well as prompting. This is in my notes, but you're getting it. You're getting something here. Holy Spirit, let me just clarify this. The Lord might speak to you. This is such an awesome key. This is how I work. Holy Spirit, is there something you have for Josh? We're getting coffee. I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, I want to wash his feet. That's how I think. I want to serve him. Lord, how can I bless him? He says, okay, this is who Josh is in the kingdom. I go, awesome. The next thing is this. I have to ask the question, what do you want me to do with that? Now, not every time is a time to say something. He might say to me, pray for Josh in your heart. He might say to me, bless Josh with a meal. He might say to me, encourage Josh, but don't say, thus saith the Lord, just encourage him. He might say to me, say, thus saith the Lord. Not that I say thus saith much, but you know what I mean. Like, he might say, give him a scripture. He might say, the Holy Spirit might say, do nothing. I just want you to see who he is. That's going to change how I now speak to him. Yeah? So we have to have wisdom and understanding with the prompting of the Spirit. And when we become that as a people, we learn this, and my goal is by the end of this year that our church is so fluent in this that we are touching our city in a powerful way. So I've given my timeline the whole year for us to practice until we're good, but we're already seeing the fruit of it, so that's great. So, and then Josh passes that on. So he's in there, he's a school teacher, and he's in the classroom going, Holy Spirit, help me to see what you've placed over these students. in the midst of his frustration, in the midst of his trying days, in the midst of his, all the things that come with being a school teacher, he's tracking with the Holy Spirit. Don't miss the preview. Because if we miss the preview, we don't have faith for the main attraction. Now, scripturally, I just so you know the process for me. I spend a lot of time preparing messages. That's why when I don't get to them, it frustrates me. Because I spend a lot of time preparing them. But I'm okay with that. Just me being real. Hey, songwriters in the house, you spend ages on your song. It's okay, it's not for you, it's for him. Just pick on the songwriters for a second. P.S., write more songs, please. As I was preparing this message, I was going through the scripture of people who were able to see the preview on somebody before the main attraction. I found at least 12 instances. My wife said to me, she said, it's too dense. I had 9 written down for this morning. She said, you need 3. I said, I take on your wisdom. So I'm going to give you 3 biblical examples of people who saw the preview in others. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 is the story of Eli and Samuel. 1 Samuel 3, 1 says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Now, Samuel was a boy. If you remember the story, Samuel was dedicated to the temple by his mum. His mum couldn't have children. The miracle child came, and as an act of worship, she gave her child back to God. It's an amazing story. And that little boy was Samuel, the great prophet who went on to anoint King David. So he's there with Eli, who's the priest. And one day in verse 2, or one night, Eli, his eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. So he was in God's presence. And the Lord called Samuel, Samuel, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me? And Eli said, I did not call you, go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you, go back and lay down. This sounds very familiar as a parent of a toddler every single night of my life at the moment. Daddy, I need you. Okay, go back to sleep. I did not call you. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and he went to Eli. Here I am, you call me. Then Eli realized something. He realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lay down, and if he calls you, say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel spoke, speak, for your servant is listening. Eli saw the prophetic call on Samuel by recognizing the fruit of God speaking to him. Now, you imagine if Eli missed it. You imagine if Eli kept saying to Samuel, Samuel, you're losing the plot. It's not you. It's not me. It's something else. But Eli could see some fruit. And when he saw the fruit, he then knew what the harvest field looked like for Samuel. And that's when the training would have really begun in Eli's mind when it came to Samuel. And Samuel went on to become one of the great prophets. But it goes back to the fact that Eli, a man, paid enough attention and was so close with God that he recognized the moment that the preview was shown. The preview of the main attraction. As a parent, this is something that I'm praying through regularly over my young boys, even my 10-week-old. I'm saying, Lord, what is it that he carries? What makes him unique? What makes him special in your kingdom? With my 4-year-old, I pray this. And Lord, give me grace, give me patience, but help me
caused the rivers in him to flow already. You know, young parents here, or if you've been an older parent, you know what it's like to get frustrated sometimes. Lord, help me to see past my frustration, to see the preview of what that little boy is called to be. And that is the heart of God for us with others. Are we Eli's with Samuel's? Therefore, and Jesus said this, he says, by their fruit you will know them. And he was speaking of the negativity of the Pharisees, but ultimately what he was saying, the principle of it is this: you know someone by the fruit they produce. So whether it's a baby Christian or whether it's a young person, let's become Eli's with Samuel's. What is the fruit that we start to see in someone from a young age? And then how do we learn to cultivate and to water the seeds that God has placed in that person? Who he wants to have a legacy beyond themselves? Okay, I think that's in the heart of most people. Let me tell you, this is how you do it. You encourage and you invest in somebody younger than you. So that when you shuffle off this mortal coil, they go on to live. I don't know if I got that saying right, but you get the point. How does your legacy go into generations? Well, your wealth will disappear one day. Your house will get sold one day. Your car or your motorbike won't be around, it'll get rusted one day. But when you instill and disciple somebody else, you water the seeds of greatness that will then go on beyond you. Can I encourage anyone who's over 40 here? You have a great opportunity to sow into the next generation. And can I encourage anyone under 40 here? You don't need to wait till you're over 40. You can start speaking this now. Is this okay? I think this is awesome. The second example is actually found in 1 Samuel 16:7, and it's a story of Jonathan and David. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God." Now, how great is this? How great is somebody who helps you find strength in God? "Don't be afraid," he said, "my father Saul will not lay a hand on you." And then get this, he speaks into the destiny over David. "You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you." Remember, Jonathan was the one naturally in line for the throne. And he sees prophetically the greatness and the reality of God, and he says, "You will be king. Even though I am the heir, you will be king, and I will be submitted to you." "Even my father Saul knows this, and the two of them made a covenant before the Lord." Then Jonathan went home, but David remained. I love this story of Jonathan and David because David was in a place of being persecuted and being basically run out of town. And Jonathan comes along and says, "David, I can see what's on you. Do not forget the greatness of the call of God." And Jonathan would have been the same age as David, by the way. And he speaks the greatness of God, and he speaks to the river inside of David. And he says, "You will be king. Even my dad, Saul, who's trying to kill you, by the way, he will not get in the way. You will be king." And we see a moment of Jonathan, who knew the preview before the main attraction. He could see the call of God on David, keeping in mind that David's own dad, Jesse, forgot about him. And when the prophet came to anoint the king, and he said, "Jesse, bring your sons out." And he brings all his sons out, and he goes, "None of these are the ones." And the prophet has to say, "Is there another?" "Yes, there's one more, but he is not the man. He has not got it. I know my sons. It is not him." No, bring him. David was forgotten. David was too young. David was unqualified. But Samuel the prophet saw what others could not. Jonathan could see what others could not. In 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that men look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Oh, a church of revivalists who have learned to look past the flesh into who someone is in the kingdom is a church that will change a city. Yeah, oh, that amen was deafening. A generation that can look past the flesh and get the eyes of God and have the courage to speak it will be a church that will change a city. You have to understand this. And the Holy Spirit, we humbly say, let this drop in our spirit and give us the courage to execute this. Inside our own church family, and you would have seen it last week, church overflowing. How many people in this place? How many? We had 13 people get baptized. How awesome. Some churches never see a baptism. Wow, every single one of those precious people, we have an opportunity to encourage them, to bless them, to see what God sees over them. What happens if they say swear words? What happens if they smoke in the courtyard? What happens if they have bad attitudes? Who cares? Yeah. What matters is this: who does God say they are? Yeah? So we have to be good at this in our spirit. We have to raise this up in our kids' ministry, in our youth ministry, in our young adult ministry, in our over 50s. Every single generation needs to know that we believe in the call of God over them. We will be Jonathans to the Davids. Eli saw the prophetic call on Samuel by recognizing the fruit of God. And Samuel saw the anointing on David, even though he was forgotten by his own dad. The third and final example today I want to share is this, and it's one we touched on recently, but it's found in John chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. It says this: another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how can this go so far to so many?" I love this story for so many reasons. They're there, they're hungry, there's 5,000 men, which, by the way, think about context, add in wives, add in children, there's probably, add in the girls who aren't married, there's probably 20, 25,000 people. And they're all hungry. Probably a bit hangry, hungry, angry. To the point where Jesus feels sorry for them, and Jesus says, "How can we feed? Let's come on, let's feed them." And the disciples start doing maths. Well, we're going to need this much money and this many and this. And, you know, they got their old, I don't know, calculator. I don't know what they had back then, but fingers, I don't know. But they tried to figure it out. Andrew, who to me, apart from Jesus, is the hero of this story, the boy is as well, says, "There's a boy here with his packed lunch." But notice what Andrew says. Andrew recognizes the preview to the main attraction, but he still has doubt. He says, look what we got here. There's an opportunity, but how? Oh, how much does that give us all hope? That even Andrew wasn't like, oh, full of faith, praise the Lord, let's do it, I can do it. He was like, I think we can see something, but I'm not sure. And Jesus is like, that's enough. That's all I need. Just give it to me. Just give what you can from your heart. And he gives it, and the Lord uses it. Yeah. The preview was the loaves and fish, and the main attraction was the 12 baskets overflowing. Yeah. But it took Andrew to see what others couldn't see. Now, so this is how I think. This is how I'm wired now in the Holy Spirit, and he's helped rewire me like this. I look across the room here, and I think, what are the loaves and fish in you? What is the miracle in you? Because in the hands of Jesus, it will feed the 25,000 and will still be preached about 2,000 years later. And you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have, you know, it's okay to have a little bit of like, I'm not sure. Because in the hands of Jesus, he can still use that. And he did use it. I pray that we become a church who understands according to the Holy Spirit that we recognize in people's lives the five loaves and two fish. That we understand that it's not by might or by power, but by His Spirit. My joy and my hope and my prayer is not that people look to the stage of this church, but the most powerful interactions happen in the courtyard. They happen in the car park. They happen in, hey, I walk into your car. Oh, and then the Holy Spirit gives you an encouragement. Now, we have to do it wisely. We have to be, I call it healthy prophetic. And let me just divert for 1 second about healthy prophetic. Prophetic with boundaries is powerful. Prophetic submitted is powerful. Wild West prophetic is dangerous. So what do I mean by that? Some people, when they are learning to be prophetic and understand the Holy Spirit, actually make mistakes. And we actually have to set up our church culture to be a place where people can learn and make mistakes. Just like when you learn to ride your bike and you fell over a few times, that's okay. Your parents running beside you and they're trying to like stop you from falling over, eventually they might catch you, but sometimes they don't. Well, when we learn to be led by the Spirit and to learn and we learn to unlock things inside of people, we have to make sure that we have good teachers around us who can help keep us on track. Now, if you ever find someone who is so prophetic that they don't need any accountability, that's what you call a Pharisee. I grew up in church culture, and sometimes there was a person who was so spiritual that they couldn't submit that word to leadership or to others, and then they got offended. You know that the most powerful prophetic is secure prophetic. It's not insecure. So how does that work on the ground? This is how that works. It works like this. If you're learning the prophetic and you have a word for someone, this is how we practice this in our church. You say to a leader, you say to Josh, Josh, I feel like I have a word for Mark. Can you come with me? Actually, let me share it with you. Yep, cool. It feels good to you. Okay, let's go together and I want to give it to Mark, but I want accountability. That safeguards me, speaking about, you. It safeguards Josh and it safeguards the person because there have been too many words given over the years to people that have been inaccurate and that young, especially young Christian, has taken it on board, changed their life for it, and it's been wrong. So how do we create a culture of healthy, being led by the Spirit, healthy prophetic? This is how you do it. You say, I'm going to get someone to help me make sure I'm accurate. And by the way, what happens if I say to Josh, Josh, I've got a word for Mark, and Josh says, as one of our team says, oh, I don't know if that's actually for now. Well, but I've got to do what God tells me. Well, trust me, if that word is for Mark, Mark will get that word anyway. What I would do then is put it on the shelf and say, Lord, it's okay. Mark isn't going to rise and fall on this word. God is bigger. Now, if that offends you and you don't understand that, we can talk more about it. But we have to have healthy safeguards in place to stop wild, wild west prophets coming in, blowing people up, and then leaving. And anyone who's been in church for more than 10 seconds has probably viewed this. So our heart is that people become confident in being led by the Spirit, but we actually create safeguards to help them become confident. Now, I'm going to give you a better example. We want to learn, I'll use our kids team. So all the parents here, you'll enjoy this. I have my son in the kids program. I don't want a kids leader, especially if they're learning the prophetic word from God, to pull my four-year-old aside and give him a word with no accountability. Who can agree that's dangerous? Therefore, and I told Ange and Motto this, I said, we want to create a prophetic culture inside of kids. But this is how we do it. If that leader has a word for a kid, get another leader, get them to come with you, and then give that word. It creates safety for that young person, it creates safety for that leader, and it creates a healthy culture because sometimes people are going to make mistakes as well. And by the way, that's okay. Mistakes happen. But we have to be humble in heart and learn the voice of God. Benaiah, what happens if that leader is wrong and it is a real word from God? That leader is not big enough to stand in the way of a word from God. It might not be the time for you to share it, but hey, that word will still get to that person. So we're just going to create this culture of being led by the Spirit, being accurate in the Spirit, but being humble in our hearts. Okay, let's... That's my side note. And we can talk more about healthy prophetic at some point. We have to understand... Now, can I just speak to our church family? If this is your church home, which is probably most of you. The preview of our church was last weekend. Salvations, baptisms, spontaneous baptisms, a culture of fellowship, the host team freaking out because there's not enough seats, the new people team freaking out because there's too many new people, the worship team being blown away, a choir, or whatever it might be. The miracles happening in a service because the people of God have stepped into the calling on this church. But it's a preview. 3 weeks ago, we spoke about we can pray for revival. And by the way, we have revival prayer meeting from 9 to 9:30. Week two was today. And if you have a heart for revival and can be here, get here. Turn off Sunday sunrise and get along, because the Holy Spirit is every single time there's like words, there's things I'm seeing, God's moving. It's powerful. We fight for those who can't fight for themselves. But we have to remember that the preview that God's given us is so real for the main attractions to come. We are currently in the lions and the bears for the Goliaths. David had to fight the lions and the bears, which, by the way, imagine fighting a lion. You look at it in like I'm doing the Bible with my son at the moment, like, you know, cartoon lions. It's like Aslan or something. It's like, oh, they're really... Go to a zoo and look at a lion. And go try to pat it and watch it bite your arm off. Don't try to pat it. Don't do that. Don't blame me. David was a boy killing bears and lions. So when he saw the giant, he went, a lion. Right now as a church, prophetically, this is what I really believe. This is a revival house. We are on the track right now that God has called us to be. You as his people are getting more and more stirred in your spirit. The fire of God is stirring in your hearts. There's more accuracy, more fruit, more prophetic words, more moments of supernatural happening in our community than I've seen in many, many years. Because God is putting his hand on you. It's exciting. But I need you with me to understand something, that it's a preview of what's to come. And revival, we can pray for revival every week, and we will, but to be honest, it's more of a realization of what's on the house. Because if everyone brought, actually if 20% of us brought one person next week, this place would be chaos again. Wouldn't that be revival? Yeah? If our church family all came along next Sunday, you would be stressed out. But I'm not thinking in hundreds, I'm thinking in the city. And I'm going, Holy Spirit, now I'm going to give you an example. This is an example that really impacted me. It happened yesterday. I was in the cinema with my son, and we sat behind a mother with their child, and the child was probably 6'3", so probably 17, but big. The mum was like 5 foot. And this boy, I think he had autism, but it was like a violent autism. And so in the cinema, this boy started wailing in on his mum. And I didn't know what to do. I was just like, and I'm there with my son, I'm going, oh. Like, and I'm talking like, really just. And my heart broke because I thought, this boy needs a breakthrough. This mum lives in this every day. And I go home and I've got two boys. And yeah, my four-year-old can be challenging, but man, it's not that challenging. And I sat there in the darkness, tears down my face. I just had a hat on, as I often do. And I was just praying. I'm like, God, just, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know what to do with this type of thing. But Holy Spirit, you do. And this is an example of right now in our city. There are many, 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 many situations. And then to make things worse, a lady came down in the dark who had her own kids and yelled at this lady. I don't think she realized the challenges that were happening and said, you know, tell your kids. And I was just like, and afterwards I saw a dad, and there was a dad sitting near them, and he had four young girls, and he came over and spoke to the mum, and I think he encouraged her and said, listen, you're doing good. Like, but it was the type of situation that I just, even for my boy, I'm like, I need to protect him. I need to get him away from this. And I got home, and it really, really shook me. Like, it really impacted me. And it reminded me of this. Because I was sitting there praying for him. I was praying for the boy, and I was praying for the mom. And remember on Easter Friday, I spoke about being moved with compassion, if you're here. It was like God was like, this is compassion. This is a burden right now I'm giving you. But understand, this isn't just for this cinema right now. This is for our city and beyond. And I don't have the answers in that right now. I don't even know. I said to Charlie, he's a trained high school teacher. I'm like, I don't even know the protocol in that. I don't even know what to do in that situation. Like, he didn't, there was only a couple of hits and then he stopped. And I was like, what do I do? And I'm sure you understand the complexities of this. And the reason why I'm saying maybe don't have a podcast is I don't want us getting into that lady and discouraging her, although she was doing a great job. But I went like this in my heart. I said, Holy Spirit, may we be a people who aren't comfortable for our own community and our own satisfaction and our own need, but understand that you take light and you encourage the most troubled hearts. You take your hope and you fill the most dire situations that don't make sense, I can't work it out, but you make a way where there is no way. And I just was so moved in my spirit, and this morning I pray you are moved in this too. That when you bring your neighbor, when you bring your work colleague, when you bring your family member who hasn't come to church for years and hates church, but one day they're like, yeah, I'll come. Because God's been doing something that you didn't realize. Revival prayer meeting has been softening hearts. And they come along, and the person who was suicidal has hope again. And the person, the couple that was going through to divorce has reconciliation, and the child that was a prodigal comes back. And we start to realize that this isn't just a nice gathering of nice people, that it's real lives and real situations and a real call. And we go, well, wait a second, Holy Spirit, it comes back to you and what you've called me to do. Give me eyes to see what you're doing. Give me ears to hear your voice. Give me courage to step out. Let's be the humble servants, the humble students of his presence. We are not a know-it-all church. We are humble. We are contrite in heart, but we understand that we can take on the Goliath even if the brothers won't. And it's not because of big ego, it's because of a big God. And so, just as we conclude, I pray this morning that we become so great at being able to see the previews and the fruit, even if it's initial, in people's lives. And then we have the courage to speak it. And I'm going to finish with this scripture. I got through half my notes. Well done to me. This is such an awesome scripture. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 9. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who only waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. for we are co-workers in God's service. We are God's field, God's building. Oh, I love this. Think about your salvation, if you're a Christian, your salvation journey. There was a moment that someone planted the seed, the gospel. There was a moment where somebody watered that seed in your life. And then there was a moment where you gave your heart to Jesus. And you fast forward to discovering the water, the river of God in you. There was a moment of you and God going, God, I feel like I carry that. There was a prophetic inclination that God, someone spoke over you. And there was a moment of breakthrough where the river started to flow. Our job isn't necessarily to sow, to water, and to harvest. Our job is to be true to whatever the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do. And for some people in this room right now, there are seeds being sown. And for some people, there is watering happening. And for some people, there is a moment of harvest. And there's all these different journeys according to the Holy Spirit's timeline. And I want you to take the scripture in your heart with you, because we have gotten frustrated with thinking that every moment is a harvest moment. And if I don't see the harvest right now, then I failed. It's not biblical. Apollos watered or sowed, Paul watered. You get the gist. We just have to be great at being led by the Holy Spirit. Are we sowing? Are we watering? Or are we harvesting? And if we all have those moments in life and in people and in kingdom, then we'll become a very fruitful, successful kingdom people. And again, I finish with this. This is the great south coast of the Holy Spirit. And last week in revival prayer, I had a picture, and I shared it last week. I'm going to say it again. It was like a satellite picture of the world, and it was like you looked at Australia and you could see light coming from the south coast. Light touching the darkest places. The Holy Spirit doing what only He can do through imperfect vessels. Because we all fall short. But thank you, Holy Spirit, that in my weakness, Your power is made perfect. So Holy Spirit, come and in our church's weaknesses, and we have weaknesses at church in different areas, make Your power evident. And cause the South Coast. I just saw a picture in it last week again, the streets just full of light. It's like it's just light, no darkness, just light. And I love the scripture. Darkness cannot overcome light. It has to flee. Okay, well, we know it in our heart. We amen it in our spirit. We sense it in our spirit, but we need the courage to step into it. And we need the sensitivity to hear Him, and we need the humility to be taught by Him. And if revival is 25% of us next week being led by the Spirit, bringing people, let's start to see it. Because last week was that for me. I was like, this is so enjoyable. Again, I like watching the host freak out. It's very enjoyable. No offense, Haley and Tom and different people. It's fun. Why don't we just stand to our feet? Let's just ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank You. We thank You for Your presence. Why don't we just lift our hands to heaven? Lord, You called Gideon, who was from the weakest clan. He was the youngest. He was fearful and unqualified. And yet You used him for mighty victories for Your kingdom. And I pray this morning that there would be a realization that we carry an authority in the kingdom, that this church carries an authority in the kingdom. That Nara is not called to be insignificant, but it's called significant. Yes, Lord. That you are teaching us this year to be students of your presence, to host you well. And this morning, Lord, we ask for a fresh touch of heaven and a fresh opening of our ears and opening of our eyes and a fresh courage to step out and let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow, Lord. Help us see the fruit in people's lives for the main attraction to come. Help us be the Elis for the Samuels, the Jonathans for the Davids, the Andrews for the young boy with the fish and the loaves. Lord, help us to see what you see and not look at the flesh, but look at the Spirit. For that is your reality, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. We honor you, we thank you, we worship you. And we ask you just to come and to visit and to live and to dwell in this church in power, in fire, in anointing. Lord, that this place be overrun with angels, with great fruit, and with accuracy. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to finish. Can you find someone around you? And can you have a moment of praying for them and encouraging them and even asking the Holy Spirit, is there something you want me to show me who they are in your kingdom? Encourage that. Let's practice that before we finish today. In Jesus' name. Sound good? Awesome. Be blessed. Be blessed.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.